Coming up on TMS, old people can hear it.
Mm-hmm. Tapeworm from hell.
Gross. You sound what? You sent what to... Oh, let me do that again. You sent what to who now?
Drunk dialing police can be fun.
Really shouldn't write these the night before. Bathtub survival.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Remove all metal objects from your person. Place them in the plastic tube at your left.
I think we're alone now.
I'm bleeding to death. Humor me. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream. It is Monday, the 30th of January, 2017. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Abbott. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott. We are almost done with this month that I feel like I've been sick for the entirety of. I'm still not 100%.
Still there, eh? Still
like 95%. I'm close, but, okay. You know, still...
95 is pretty good, but 5% of off of anything is either a good sale, or it's either a crappy sale or not a good way to feel. One of those.
That's true. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, I hope 98's not too far. I hope 100 is not too far after that.
I hope so too. And Tina's doing better too. I probably should say, you know, Tina's pneumonia is wrapping up. She still has a little bit of a cough, but other than that, just a little tired.
She's still making Ambien noises at night.
No, that unfortunately has stopped.
Oh, that's too bad.
I had just gotten permission from her to maybe record it, and and now she's not doing it anymore. And maybe one has to do with the other. Like, maybe somewhere deep in the recesses of her mind, now that she knows that I could record it, yeah, she won't do it.
Yeah, that's funny. Speaking of late nights, I was up and asleep a bunch last night, all in the middle of the night, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up with my left arm completely numb. I'd slept on it funny or whatever. Mm. But in my hazy, dreamlike state, I thought, oh no, it's a heart attack or something. because I can't feel it at all. And I'm thinking, right, and it kind of hurts and tingles too. So in my head, like I think I was coming out of like a kind of a gnarly dream anyway. And so my brain just went, oh, this is great. You are now in full cardiac arrest, because clearly that's what this is. Like, I'm not thinking like a rational person.
Of course,
person.
Yeah. It's almost like your brain is WebMD.
Yeah. And so I go, oh, I sat up in bed and went, oh, oh. I start making these noises and flip my arm around going, oh, this is zip. And Kim goes, are you okay? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what's going on over here. But my arm, I can't feel. She must be just ready to say, go and sleep on the couch.
Right. He's like, why don't we do separate bedrooms? Maybe that's a good idea.
I should have been like Frank Costanza, or not Frank Costanza. What's Jerry's dad? Jerry's dad's name is Mort? Morty.
Mort, yes.
Yeah, I should have gone, my wallet's gone! My wallet's gone! As loud as I could and just really freak her out. But anyway, yesterday, she did this a bunch yesterday. We were a thing for my niece, and she says, what did she say? I made some fart noise out of nowhere. We're just walking, and I went, like that. Like, it was almost like Tourette's.
Right.
And she goes, she looks.
Not related to anything, just no, like a random fart noise.
Yeah, okay. Just out of my mouth, no reason. And I look at her. yeah, Jeannie, like the usual. And I look at her, and she looks at me with this look of like, kind of like, and I said, what? She goes, 25 years, and I'm still trying to figure this out. I'm like, well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, honey. It's been a hard week here. Coming off, you know, all kinds of weird stuff, and I just had to make a fart noise. Leave me alone. All right, so, hey, speaking of fart sounds,
yeah,
I got a great story. So I have this Aunt Phyllis and her husband, Marsden. He is 96 years old.
Marsden.
Yeah, he is old school.
That's a great name. Uncle Marsden.
Uncle Marsden. And he is, when I was a kid, he was already super old. Like, he was just always been old, right? And he's 96, still driving, although he made me a little nervous yesterday because he goes, Scott, do you know how to get onto the highway to go towards Salt Lake? And I said, oh, where are you guys going? Back home. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't you come out here? Well, yeah, but I don't know. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe 96. Maybe we're just hitting the edge of where we ought not to be driving. But anyway, he's a really sweet guy. Super, super cool. Always goes back for like seconds and thirds at the buffet table. The guy, he's like a machine.
Nice.
Never been sick a day in his life. And Phyllis is my dad's sister. So I guess that makes him my, well, he's still my uncle. So anyway, she's a lot younger than him. Anyway, the point is, we're sitting there talking. And I don't know what the topic was. We were there for my the thing my niece was doing. We're real proud of her. She's doing awesome. And the whole family's there. Lots of extended family are there. And they want to talk about, now tell us about your blog. Tell me, now how do I listen to your blog? You know, that kind of conversation.
Right. Yes, of course.
Yeah. And it was, and I'm, you know, going, oh, well, let me try to explain it to him. And I said, and by the way, it's about a video game. Or I don't know. I said, some of my shows are about video games, so they probably aren't going to be interesting to you, because they were trying to see if they could listen. I said, you're probably not going to get much out of my, like, the instance or something. Mm-hmm. I said, you can try, but I don't think it's going to be. Now, that's a video game you've made? And I said, no. So, I mean, it was really hard to explain to these people what was going on. Well, here's the best part. Right in the middle of it, she's going, well, I'll tell you what. I think it's so great that you've been able to take your artwork and your passions and do the... And she farts. But she doesn't know it.
Right in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah, nice.
No pause, no nothing.
Yeah, it was a real Hufflepuff. And she lets that out. And then she keeps going as if she didn't feel a thing. And so I just think it's great. If your dad were here, he'd be so proud and this and that. And I'm going, this is the nicest conversation I've ever had with you. But the problem is, see, you farted in the middle of it. And it's really hard for me now to not laugh or not lose my mind.
Right.
While this is happening. So anyway, she's a sweetie. I love Aunt Phyllis. And if she hears this, I don't want her to feel bad. They're the nicest people. And they are so going strong at, like I said, he's 96 freaking years old.
Wow.
And he's a little hunched over. But other than that, guy's getting around. He's making jokes. He's like, what did he say? He said something about, he goes, oh, I'm getting so tired of going to all these things. Because we were at a church house. He goes, I'm getting so tired of going to these things. I should become a Catholic. I said, why is that? And he goes, I don't even have to go two times a year. Like, he's just funny, right?
That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, farting aunt aside, good time yesterday.
Is it that the elderly doesn't hear or isn't aware that they're farting, or is it just that they just don't care anymore?
Maybe they don't care.
The time has long passed where they'll go, oh my god, excuse me. It's like, oh, whatever, I'm just gonna do this.
I don't know, maybe. But in my head, this is how my brain works, and so chat room, forgive me for what I'm about to tell you, but we're sitting there, and as this happens, I hear her crack one off. My first instinct is, Scott, breathe. Don't breathe through your nose. Breathe out of your mouth. Breathe into your mouth.
Take a deep breath now.
Yeah, take a breath now. Breathe out of your mouth. Use your mouth. And then my brain went, don't use your mouth. Then you're sucking in her freaking fart air. I hope she never hears this episode. Seriously. So I'm barely hearing what she's saying because I'm thinking about all this other stuff. I mean, if she's actually hearing this, she's mortified, because none of this is going to sound like outer space. She's not going to know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Anyway, they're very nice. It was good to see them. That's all.
I took my mom to the airport on Saturday morning before we recorded Film Sec. And I didn't bring this up in Film Sec. I don't know if I didn't think of it or whatever. But my mom was, we were talking about Facebook, and she's, oh, I just love all those Obama Biden maymays.
Maymays?
Maymays. And it took me a second thinking, wait, is she talking about Nene from Real Housewives? Is she what's maymays? And then dawned on me, she means memes. So I correct her. I say, no, they're memes, Mom. She's like, oh, memes? Like, no, memes. Memes.
I love that. I love those maymays.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna call them maymays from now on.
I know, it's actually a much more fun name. A maymay.
Your mom's
like great Civil War maymay.
Your mom's awesome. She was, how's she? She's good? It was a test or something, or everything's
she's
fine?
She's doing all right. Yeah. So she is on a Carnival cruise right now.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's a cruise line I don't think I'd ever go back to.
Yeah.
Tina and I did that for our honeymoon. We went on a Carnival cruise, and it really is just, it's drink, vomit, buffet. Drink, vomit, buffet. Like it's
gross.
It's like a rinse and repeat thing, because it's always constant whistles blowing and everybody do a freaking conga line and all that crap. Yep. That's not the kind of cruise I want.
There's a thin layer of filth on everything. On that,
oh, really is. Yeah. I'm sorry, Carnival, if you're listening and you're just about to sign on the dotted line to become a sponsor of TMS, I apologize. Norwegian is like my jam. Yeah. We did that. We took a Norwegian cruise up to Alaska. We watched the glaciers crumbling into the water. We took a little kayak thing off of there, and everything's just so nice and kind of classy. There's no, everybody go to the Lido deck. It's time to do Jello shots.
Oh my lord!
Get any of that. So
was Norwegian? Was it all Norwegians running it, or is it just the name?
I think it's just the name. Okay. I mean, I think it's ownership, but everybody has a name tag that says their name and their country that they're from, which is really really kind of cool, because they're wow, you're from Somalia. I've never met anybody from Somalia before, or whatever.
Right.
And I don't remember there being an excessive amount of really any country represented there, especially Norway.
Wait, you fly to California and then up the
Seattle.
There? Oh, Seattle. Okay.
Flew up to Seattle and then past Vancouver and up into the Strait up there.
Argeneer says the Royal Caribbean has a robot barman. Is that true?
Really?
That's what
he says. I thought that was passengers. I thought that was...
Yeah, that's a... or Futurama or something. I don't know what they're talking about.
Sheen in Passengers.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. That's really a thing they have. Okay, interesting.
That's interesting. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. That sounds like a freak show I could get into.
I wouldn't mind doing a Disney cruise at some point, too, because I feel like they do it right, too. Plus, they've got that water slide that goes way out past the edge of the ship. So you're in this plastic tube, you look down, and there's the freaking ocean.
Yeah, no kidding. That's pretty awesome. Oh, my gosh. That stuff's really cool, except I worry about the Disney ones because it's just wall-to-wall, snot-nosed kids.
Yeah.
Or it can be. Not that it always is, but sometimes
you got to Purell everything when you walk around there. Man.
Yeah, I like to dip in it before I go out. I like to take a big dip in some Purell.
Right.
And then
just soak your clothes in it.
Yeah, why not? All right, we got a bit of a business here. The film festival for this month is over. It ended yesterday. So thanks for all your submissions. I actually haven't looked to see what our total count was. Have you seen?
I have not. I'm pulling it up right now.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
I'm nervous every time we do this. Oh, holy cow. We've got lots of submissions.
Okay, good. We're going to go through those today, Brian and I, and we're going to pick winners. So tomorrow we'll announce the winner and get your prize out to you, whoever you are.
Yeah.
So thank you all for submitting, and then probably sometime this week we'll have February's thing.
That's right.
We'll do it again.
We'll make that announcement. Probably Wednesday?
Yeah. So keep it bookmarked, or however you track your URLs. Go to frogpants.com/TMSFilmFest. It will have both the winners there and entries for the new stuff. And we'll announce all of that soon. All right. Brian,
cool. You
went wig shopping. Now, before anyone says, oh, Brian, finally, with the bald head so many years, he's getting a wig finally.
There was a little part of me when we were wig shopping that was like, do you have like a clearance section with men's wigs? I think it would be kind of fun to get like, the Kato Kaelin or something, right? See if they've got that.
Sure, why not? I mean, the hard part, isn't it, though, once you've been, like, if you've had no hair for long enough, it's now your look. And so if you did, for serious, wanted to get a wig, everybody you know would be like, what are you doing? It would only work on people that don't know you.
Oh, yeah. No, and it would purely be for, like, goofing, wearing on the show here. Just like not wearing out in public, most likely.
Right.
But anyway, so we were looking for wigs for Tina. Now, she has not started chemo yet. That's planned for Friday, so she hasn't lost her hair. So this is kind of like a preemptive thing. But it was actually a really good idea to go now because the woman that helped us was able to look at Tina's hair now and say, well, are you looking for something that's kind of similar to what you have now? Are you wanting to make a change? And Tina's like, well, I want something similar to what I have now, but maybe a little bit longer or a little bit wavier or a little bit more body or whatever. So we were able to sit there and try things on, and kind of fun seeing your wife with dramatically different looks all of a sudden. It's like it's almost like you're with another woman.
Oh! Oh, I see. Okay.
Kind of like, oh, that's my wife, but now she's a blonde.
Okay, yeah.
But, no, it's really cool. The woman was super helpful, but there was some weird... The mannequins that they put these wigs on, it's almost like people are designing these drunk or high or something, because they have these looks on their faces like they're about to fall asleep. Mm. Like, I just put this wig on and I'm really tired. And it's probably supposed to be like sultry looks on these mannequins, but it comes across as like sleepy mannequins.
Weird.
Yeah.
So but, what's the consensus? As the ultimate, what's the ultimate pick?
We have a wig. They ain't cheap. Surprising. Well, I guess it's not surprising. You know, you think of the wigs over at like Sally Beauty and they're like $30 to $40.
Oh yeah. But, they're already too expensive, I think.
Yeah, but when you're shopping for ones that are more well designed and not even, I mean, we're still doing synthetic. We're not even talking human hair. Tina doesn't want to do human hair.
Yeah. Is that weird? Too, like the feeling of just
Buffalo Bob for her.
Yeah, it kind of is. I was going to ask. It feels weird to me too. Like, okay, I have to make an admission here that I haven't told you about yet. And you need to tell me whether I still do this or not.
Okay.
We kept all the hair we shaved in a bag. And we were going to take it all, combine it all. Well, it's already combined in this bag. It looks like it's a real shit show in that bag.
Yeah.
But we were going to stuff like a little bear with it. And then send it as a joke. You know, we weren't like, keep our hair forever as a token. No, no, no. We knew it was a joke, but we were going to send a stuffed bear full of our hair to you guys.
To us?
And,
and
Kim's like, I don't think I'd want that if I were them. I said, I know that's the fun of the joke, but then we thought more about it, and I think we're probably just going to throw that hair away. Because we were this close, like a hot second away from stuffing a bear with it.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, really sweet and
Scott
weird.
Scott and family, but no, thank you.
And you know what would happen is the hairs would find a way to kind of weasel their way out of the fabric. So you'd have like a long, like gnarly Nick hair on one end, and out of one of the paws, one of Carter's hairs would be their little purple in it.
Oh my God. That is hilarious.
It's pretty gross. Anyway, so I understand her thinking. I wouldn't want that either. I don't want real hair on my
head. It makes me wonder now that you say that, and this would far be from the weirdest thing, but what do you think the weirdest thing anyone's ever wanted to put in a Build-A-Bear? Like, they brought something to Build-A-Bear Workshop. They want to put it inside a bear.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know hair's been done. Has to be, right?
Yeah, hair is almost a given. Like, I'm sure people have done hair.
Yeah.
Ashes, maybe? Human ashes?
Oh, gosh, dude. Human ashes are probably definitely have been done or have been desired to be done. What else? What else could you put in there? I didn't want to think about it.
Gallbladder.
Oh, I can't look at a Build-A-Bear location the same. Didn't they all close down or something? I thought they weren't doing well.
I don't think so. I think they're still around.
Oh, okay. I thought that came and went. When my kids were little, that was the bomb. That's all they wanted to do was go get a Build-A-Bear.
If we have any listeners out there who've ever worked at a Build-A-Bear workshop or know somebody who works at a Build-A-Bear workshop, please ask them what the weirdest thing somebody's wanted to put in a bear is. Because I'll bet there's some stories.
Yeah. Oh, I'm guessing there's tons of stories. By the way, good news in the chat room says, well, every morning this show manages to kill my appetite. Hey, we're here to help you with your goals this year of losing weight, and how better to do it than to gross you out so you don't go eat something. Well done. All right.
And a couple other things. I've been catching up on Oscar movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And we have now seen Moonlight and Hidden Figures.
Oh, what'd you think of I want to see those, both of those.
They're both really, really good. Moonlight is you know, people are touting that as being, if something's going to upset La La Land, it's going to be Moonlight. Mm-hmm. And I can see why. It's really, really good. It's like, I don't want to minimalize it by saying it's a lot like Boyhood.
Yeah.
But featuring a gay African-American boy is the central character, but it kind of is like that. I mean, it takes place in three distinct parts of his life.
Hmm.
And the acting is incredible. Just really, really good. And then Hidden Figures is the story of the three African-American women who went to work at NASA and end up helping the John Glenn orbit, the big orbit thing that he was doing.
Only one question here.
Yeah.
Kevin
Costner's really good.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Is that really what you're about to ask?
That was all I was going to ask because I love him. You know how I feel about him. I have a very strong connection to him. Nobody can pee on a plant and drink it like he does. So I am into anything he's up to. And when I heard he was in it, that got me more excited about any of it. But man, Rotten Tomatoes loves it. Everyone loves this thing. So
yeah, it's really good. And I got to say, Kevin Costner is fantastic. Even Jim Parsons is really good in it. Kirsten Dunst looks like she's high the entire time.
Really?
Yeah.
She was incredible in that Fargo season. I wondered how she'd do here.
Maybe it's, yeah. And maybe, it was just coming off after seeing those mannequins, but she looked like her eyes were about to roll in the back of her head. And
really?
Yeah. Well, it's really odd. You'll have to, if you see Hidden Figures, you'll have to let me know.
I assume she's raunchy and mean in this, right? Because she looks like she's supposed to be in the trailer.
She is a little mean. Yeah. She plays a racist.
One of those, eh?
One of those. Okay. One of those racists.
I love one of those. That's great.
But here's the interesting thing. The two movies both feature very prominently Mahershala Ali, the guy from he was Cottonmouth in Luke Cage. He was in House of Cards.
Oh,
he is in House of Cards.
Oh, I like that guy.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe.
Janelle Monáe.
I do not know who Janelle
singer,
Monáe is.
Singer, actress. Trying to think of what else she's been in. These are the only two things I can think of that she's been in that I've seen, Hidden Figures and
I like her.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh,
she's
yeah,
great.
Both of them are
fantastic in this, and it's kind of in both of these, and it's kind of funny that the two movies we picked to see this weekend both feature the two of them.
Yeah, I like her. She's sassy.
She is sassy. Oh yeah, she does that Coke commercial where she goes between all the different genres of music. Like, mm-hmm. Each time she crosses a wall, it's a new.
That's right. She's only done three movies, by the way. Rio 2, the cartoon.
Oh, really?
She did music in it and a voice role. And then Moonlight and Hidden Figures. Those are only her other two
Damn.
Movies.
Well, good for her. Man, her agent?
Yeah.
Well done,
yeah,
agent
nice.
Of Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, good job, dude. Looks like she picked him up around 2015 or so. she was also in Stargate Universe. Oh, she did music for Stargate Universe. So, yeah, it's mostly been music, but that's great. I think she's cool. I like her a lot.
You do one movie to pay the bills?
Yeah, no kidding.
and then you do your passion projects. That's great.
So one final question about that.
Yes.
Jim Parsons, you said he's good. But is he going to drive me up the frickin' wall because I'm going to think of Sheldon the whole time?
It's hard for him not to play a Sheldon-esque kind of character, although he really doesn't. He plays more, he's also kind of he's a NASA scientist and sexist, racist.
Oh, great.
So he's going to drive you up the wall, but not in a Sheldon way.
All right, good. And Costner, just always the rock, right? He's up there just,
absolutely.
Yeah, we got to get this done, and I'm awesome, and freaking, you ever seen Paper? Like, he's the best.
Right, exactly. Okay. You see a handful of his best lines in the previews, but they still save some for the movie.
I love him. How's the guy who plays Scott Glenn? Is he any good?
He is good. Tina and I were both remarking, like, we both hope that or John Glenn, you mean.
John Glenn was able to
see this before he passed away, because he's very well represented, and the actor that plays him, it's almost like Chris Evans playing John Glenn. There's a guy who's very much Chris in the Chris Evans cut.
I like the cut of that jib.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
So,
all right.
Highly recommend both of those. We are 4 for 9 right now, I believe.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
You've got only, let's see, that's 5 left.
That's right. That's right. We've seen Arrival, Hell or High Water, Moonlight. Oh, I'm sorry, La La Land. We're 5 for 9.
Well,
Hell or High Water, La La Land, Arrival, Moonlight, Hidden Figures. So we still have that Laugh a Minute, Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
Lion.
Laugh a Minute.
Right. All the Laugh a Minute ones are left.
Yeah, that's true.
Fences, and what's the fourth one that I'm not thinking of?
The Mad Max Fury Road. Return
Fences,
of Lord of the Rings, Return of the
Manchester,
King. Manchester. Horse Butts. I don't remember.
Hacksaw Ridge. Oh, yeah.
Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah.
Right.
You got to see that, dude.
Looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah. Get some Mel Gibson all up in this. Okay. For some reason, I can't unmute Daryl. Daryl, did you mute yourself again? Did you do that like I told you not to? Is that what happened? Oh, there's this yellow post-it. Daryl, click the... I can't... I don't know why I did that. Is that a... Maybe it's a thing.
Maybe he's getting a talking to from Janice.
Maybe. He could be. All right, I'm ejecting you. Just re-enter the call from that link I gave you, okay? Just do that again. I thought I would save us a bunch of time by doing that, but clearly we're not.
That's a good thought.
I'm going to take a live caller, though, while we're at this.
Sure.
Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, morning, guys. It's Linky McScott.
Oh, hey, what's going on, Linky McScott? It's good to have you on the show. You're our contestant today. How you feeling? How you doing? Everything good?
Oh, I'm excellent.
That's fantastic. Excellent. That makes me happy to hear that.
Trivia man extraordinaire, Linky McScott.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
He does. He's written stuff for me.
He's not messing around. He knows what's up. Let me tell Daryl.
You're building me up a little bit high here, guys.
Oh, no. Not at all. It's all well-deserved.
All right. Daryl should be clicking that and coming back any second. I think while we wait for him to do that, I'm going to play this. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by... Oh, it's not brought to you by anybody.
It's brought to you by part two of Scott, me, and Hammond Chamberlain's discussion about our desert island discs.
Mm.
We left off with a cliffhanger episode in part one. Find out the remainder of our desert island discs over there at soundography.com.
That sounds like a good time.
It is.
Daryl's typing something to me. Maybe Janice from accounting did come in and shut him down or something. there we go. All right, we're back. What's good? Everything's good. People at home have no idea what happened. Daryl Skeels is on the line. We're here to stump you, Daryl. What's up?
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
How
are you? How are you, yellow post-it man?
I'm good.
Oh, that's great. I think Star Trek's going to get canceled. I just want to throw that out.
You think it's just not going to happen?
Yep. I just want to just share that right up front.
Non-starter.
I think they're gonna hit some other snag and they're not gonna make that show. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that that I'm totally wrong. But there seems like
there's probably a good 40% chance that you're right.
Yeah. What do you think, Daryl?
What are they gonna do with what they've already filmed?
Make a porn parody out of it. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what they do.
Star Trek, the last episode.
Well, they did. I mean, okay. So if people have, I don't know how good people's memories are, but when they were making Voyager, they filmed the entire pilot with a whole different actress for Janeway. And then they had to go back and refilm the whole thing with Kate Mulgrew. And I'm not saying this is the exact same thing, but they've had so many delays, showrunners leaving, like so much weirdness, and the things coming out on a streaming service and not just some normal-ass TV. It just feels plagued. And I'm worried. I have concerns. That's all. So, anyway.
We'll see.
All right. Let's band together. Let's be positive. Let's look toward the future with an eye toward good Star Trek. And let's have a fun time here now with Linky McScott and his trivia question. Brian, explain the rules and tell us our topic.
Will do. Linky, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to this trivia question is numerical in nature. Daryl is going to give his best guess, but it's going to be close and wrong. Then we're going to turn to you and ask you if the actual answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct, today you win a Fidget Revolution, the last one we have for this giveaway batch, and a copy of Ninja Pizza Girl, which is a Steam game, and it involves ninjas and delivering pizza, as you might expect.
Perfect combo, I think. All that could be yours.
I love girls and pizza.
Yeah, you're like, listen.
Who doesn't, right?
Who
what
doesn't?
About ninjas?
What about ninjas?
I could take or leave them.
But if they're girl ninjas holding pizza, let's have a conversation. Brian, what is his topic today?
Our topic today is... the woman who could turn the world on with her smile, Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, all right. Aww. She passed away. This is a good time for us to honor her a little bit, a little trivia about her career. I heard somebody in the chat room said the creator of Pac-Man died today.
Yeah, Namco's founder died. Yeah.
That's not cool. I don't like that.
Well, it's sad.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, Mary Tyler Moore. She had a show after the Dick Van Dyke deal called The Mary Tyler Moore Show, and it ran from 1970 to 1977. That's a nice long run. How many episodes are there of this show? Now, Daryl, I would remind you that 7 years is just about as long as every Star Trek season has gone, most of them. So you may have a pretty good chance of guessing this. I don't know. But that's your only hint today, is this is a 7-season show back when they made however many episodes they made per season. What do you think that number was?
Hmm. Oh, let's see. I used to watch that show, too, because I'm old.
Yeah. I still, it's on Hulu or somewhere. It's great.
Netflix, I think.
Is it? Yeah. One of those. Yeah.
Mr. Grant!
It's really fun still to watch. I like it a lot. It's very, I mean, it reminds me of being a tiny kid. Like, the music.
Totally.
And I just go, oh my gosh, I need to get some PB&J and freaking, like, it just reminds me of being little, so.
Totally. Yeah. What was the, there was the very special episode where the clown died.
Oh, right.
The clown that was like a kids program on that same, on W.
On their channel? Yeah, I need to, you know what, that might be a fun,
was
I wonder.
A classic episode.
I wonder how it holds up. Does it hold up? Do you think?
Chuckles. Yeah, thank you, Captain Kipper. Chuckles the Clown.
Chuckles the Clown? Whatever. All I know is Ted Knight's awesome, and he should be in all things.
And Gavin McLeod.
Yeah, don't forget Gavin.
Captain Steubing.
All those people except for, what's her name? Golden Girl are dead.
Betty White?
Yeah. I think they're all dead now, aren't they? Oh, no. Lou Grant's alive.
Oh, yeah. Ed Asner's still around. Yeah,
he's still with us. He's great.
Gavin McLeod is...
I think so. Didn't he die? Didn't he go back? He went back to the Clan MacLeod?
Oh, yeah, he did.
There can only be one.
Oh, no, I take that back. He is still alive.
Linky McScott is the winner with There Can Only Be One. There can only be one Gavin MacLeod. That's amazing.
That's very good. Oh, no, he's still alive, 85 years old.
Oh, okay. So he's still with us then.
Living in Mount Kisco, New York.
All right. Sounds like a place that probably exists.
Born in Mount Kisco.
Daryl, what do you think? What's your number? What do you like?
Okay. I even remember the end of the show with the kitten.
Oh, with the kitten. Right.
The after credits.
And it says MTM and meow.
Yeah.
Title card.
Because MTM was the Mary Tyler Moore production thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her husband, Grant Tinker, ran that. Yeah, that's right.
Sit, Ubu, sit.
Good dog. Boof. Yeah. What's another one? Okay. What was the one with Dick Wolf's? What was his? Oh, it was a guy in the typewriter.
Yeah. And the pages are going shoo, shoo, shoo.
Yeah, kind of like that. I'm a big production logo fan. I love stuff like that. It's stupid.
That's
but
the
I like
one.
It.
Oh, wait. I'm thinking of, what is it? The one. Oh, never mind. I'll just say what it is. He pulls
hat,
the paper out of the typewriter
or something.
Yeah, bad hat. No. Yes, that's ringing a bell.
Bad hat, Harry.
Okay, what's the one?
I know the one you're talking about. That is the one Daryl's talking about, where the guy finishes typing something. He rips the page out of the. Isn't that?
Oh, that's Ron Moore,
one, isn't it?
That's Ronald Moore's thing, isn't it? Where Ronald Moore?
No, it's way older than that.
Oh, I don't know. What's the one where? When does
it might be Rockford Files?
When does Ron Swanson say Fremulon at the end?
Oh, that's right. That's like Brooklyn 99. And
something else though too. Okay, we've gone down a path I can't get out of because I love these things, and now it's bugging me. That's all right. All right, Daryl, number. Give me a number. What do you want?
I love those two. Okay, it's one. How about 170?
Long enough for him to like do some math.
Yeah, no kidding.
170. 172.
It is Brooklyn 99, and it is Nick Offerman. And it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fremulon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a doctor.
Dude, you know how I know this? There is a website called Does Nick Offerman say Fremulon.com?
And oh, really? You, like the entire purpose of the website.
Yeah, when you go there, it says, yes, yes, he does. Nick Offerman does indeed say Fremulon at the end of Brooklyn Nine-Nine episodes. But what about the other great mystery of the credits? And that's it. That's the whole site.
Fantastic.
I clicked it. It's Michael Schur. Who's that? Michael Schur is an American television.
He's the guy who's in the League. He's a comedian writer.
Oh, he's the one that says at the end of the things, not a doctor, at the end of the Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, really? Episodes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a weird website.
I might be confusing him with somebody else.
I don't know. Who knows? Not in the League. Maybe, but I enjoyed that. That was fun. That was fun to figure that out. You said a number, didn't you?
Oh, Paul Scheer is
thinking of, yeah. But now I'm thinking of more ending credit things.
That's hard not to, man.
Like from Emergency, where this big hammer comes down and stamps a 3 into the logo.
Right. Oh yeah, remember the Belisarius one for
Like
all the Don Belisario stuff. It's like somebody chiseling Belisarius out of marble.
My favorite modern one is the one from Rick and Morty that goes, it's that chef and he goes, "It's a good show."
Right.
That's my favorite modern one.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, Daryl, what?
Okay, this is turning into a different podcast.
Yeah.
I'm saying 172.
You're saying 172. 172, Brian, is that number correct, 172?
172 is incorrect. Linky, is the actual answer higher or lower than 172?
I don't even think I remember the question anymore.
how many Mary Tyler Moore episodes?
How many seasons did it run for?
7 seasons. I like Linky McScott's a lot. Can I just say that for the record? Makes me freaking laugh. Well, all right, go ahead.
Geez, that's hard. I think it's a solid guess. I will say less.
You're gonna say less than that. All right. Well, let's find out. By the way, I wanted to share this record. Since we've gone to the Monday Wednesday format for Daryl, we have not had a single person lose. So
yeah, we have. First Monday, it was that prisoners. Jacket that got carried over to Wednesday.
Right. But we haven't had one since then, right?
Okay. It's been 2 weeks, hasn't it?
I just mean that since we'd started it, like, I thought of that one as the last loser because we are on a streak right now.
25% of the people who've played since we switched this format have lost.
All right, your point is... 25%. Your point is well made. All I'm saying is no pressure, Linky. That's all I'm saying. No pressure. All right, let's find out if that is right, that it's actually lower than that number. Is it?
Congratulations.
Oh, whoops, yes.
You're a winner.
Did those backwards. But yes, you're correct. It is 168 is the answer. 168, you're very close.
Close.
Yeah, Daryl's number was almost right on. Yeah, so well done. You get the Fidget Revolution and Ninja Pizza Girl. All you need to do is send an email to coverville@gmail.com, and Brian will get those out to you.
Send me your mailing address. This will go out in the mail today or tomorrow.
Yeah. Well done, man.
Great. Thanks,
nice job. Guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Ohio is better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, the Trek Nerd, is here. That's his name on the Twitter there. Boy, Twitter, that's a place to be right now. Whew.
Mm-hmm.
To stay off of
Full
it
today. Full of friendly people with open minds and...
Yeah, I'm staying off it today. Staying off Twitter.
Calm demeanors.
Yeah, I'm staying off Twitter today. I was, whatever.
Hashtag sad.
Long weekend. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there, or you can find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and The Grumpy Cast. He will now play a game with us of his own workings called what, Daryl?
Being part of a query that I've entered into YouTube, you complete the phrase and win nothing.
Okay. All right. Here's this.
YouTube.
All right.
Okay. If you can guess either the number one or number two answer, then you win.
Okay.
So you have two chances.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, jeez. Genius. All right. Puppetry.
All right. So what is it?
Well, what was your...
You didn't give a guess, Scott.
No, I don't. I've misunderstood how this works. Say that again, then.
Oh, he's going to say a thing on YouTube. We have to fill in the blank.
Yeah, he hasn't said anything yet.
He said penis blank.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Literally didn't hear it.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah, I don't... It cut out for me or something.
I was trying to be quiet.
Oh, all right.
Well, that's weird. I heard it and I responded already.
I didn't hear it at all. Penis blank?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez.
Blink.
Penis breath. Because of the scene from E.T.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So that would be a popular video on YouTube.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sorry, kids at home. And my aunt, if she's listening. And she's long gone by now. There's no way she's still listening.
Land.
Yeah. Penn Island.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to say breath. So which is right, and probably okay. Both of us are wrong.
There are two cities. I like the second one better, but the first one is a city in the UK. It's Penistone.
Penistone?
Really?
Ouch.
Yes. And then there's a city in Spain called Peniscola.
Not Pensacola?
No, it's not spelled like that.
All right.
Peniscola.
Okay. And those are the two? Those are what's out
and
there? Those,
and they're YouTube videos those, based on those two cities? Them. Like okay. Little travel things from Anthony Bourdain?
Yeah.
It should be.
I've been to Penistone and taken from their local delicatessery. All right, Daryl, goodbye. I've ejected you from this call now. All right, Brian, let's do this. Yeah. It's time for the news brought to you by...
High noon today. What happens then, Scott?
High noon at Mountain Time high noon, so noon Mountain Time or 11 a.m. Pacific, depending on where you live and all other time zones in the world. The Twitch channel will no longer be on suspension. It will be back. That will be twitch.tv/frogpants, and our long national 7-day nightmare will be over. So bookmark it, be there, come on back. Stuff will be streamed there today, Hotline Monday likely, along with possible other things during the day. So anyway, cool. That's why we're not doing it now, because it doesn't happen until 11.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd be doing it now. Let's talk about a doctor and a dude. A doctor has removed a 6-foot tapeworm through a man's mouth. What other way do you do it? Is there only the other way? Is that the only way?
I've only ever heard of them coming back out through the mouth, and I wonder if they did the sour milk and then using the pencil to wrap the tapeworm around to pull it out.
Maybe. Ugh. Oh gosh, it sounds awful just thinking about it, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, it does.
Yeah, not a fan of this idea, but here's how it goes. A doctor in India was stunned when he removed a tapeworm measuring more than 6 feet through a patient's mouth, according to a report published this week in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Not half as stunned as the patient.
No. Yeah, though. Whoa, what are you doing, doc? Like, I wonder if it felt like he was yanking out, like, it's like one of those...
little magic act where they're pulling the handkerchief, the long string of handkerchiefs out.
Yeah, there's like 12 handkerchiefs, all different colors, just coming out of his mouth.
Oh.
Dr. Syriac Phillips wrote in an email that the 48-year-old man underwent a colonoscopy in 2014 after complaints of tolerable abdominal pain that had gone on for 2 months, and test results indicated a new hemoglobin concentrations in his blood, or new hemoglobin concentrations. I guess that's how you know you got a tapeworm. Mm-hmm. While performing the colonoscopy, Phillips discovered part of the worm. The worm was like, yo, what's up? I'm in here doing the things worms do.
They call me Dr. Worm.
Well done. It was an undulating, moving piece of the worm, he said. The worm segment was confirmation that there was a tapeworm infestation in the patient. They then scheduled the thing to get him out, and it turned out he was 6 feet long. So
a wormectomy.
Gross.
Thank you. Yeah. Hi, doc. Just put me under. Go ahead and just take that pillow, push it over my face.
Yep. I can't think of something I'd rather not do today than that. Mm-hmm. It sounds awful.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was a relief if he was having abdominal pains. That would do it. 6 foot of worm.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of worm. How did these mother effing worms get on this mother effing colon?
It's a lot of worm.
Let's see. Italian couple's been arrested for sending soiled toilet paper to thousands of celebrities. That's pretty good.
Oh, maybe I'm glad I'm not in the public eye, right?
Well, we're in the very tiny eye of the public, so it's not too bad for us.
Wait, they're just toilet paper with soil on them, like dirt?
Nope.
Like, oh, okay.
You know, like your leavings. Had some of your leavings on there. An Italian couple has been arrested for allegedly sending thousands of threatening letters, often including soiled toilet paper, to public figures. The strange scheme has been going on for 2 years before the Milan branch of the Italy's anti-terrorism squad, Digos, arrested the pair on Wednesday over accusations of threats and defamation. A 71-year-old former police officer and his 51-year-old partner were allegedly targeting high-profile people they accused of corruption, pedophilia, or murder.
We've received another letter from Prince Charmin.
Yeah. Prince Charmin. Should I open it? I don't know. That sounds fishy to me. Let's see. The man followed the news closely and was very up to date on things, says Officer Carmen Melee, or as your mom would say, Melee.
Melee, yeah.
It's going to be Melee, yeah.
Yeah.
he had sent letters practically everywhere. The unpleasant post was sent to a range of people involving sports, business, politics, and television. This included the directors of Copenhagen Zoo after the death of the giraffe there, teachers accused of child abuse, football club, and politicians who had earned the pair's displeasure. I am really glad I am not on the list of people.
Right. Let's never upset
Italians.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's a spicy Jeez. Meatball. Oh, there I've been. I'm already in trouble.
Now you've done it. Well done.
Drunk man dialed police and got arrested for his outstanding warrant of, you guessed it, drunken behavior. The man from Dauphin, Maine?
Dauphin,
would you say?
Yeah, but not Maine. I would say that's Manila. Manitoba.
Oh, Manitoba. Okay.
Yeah, that's Canadian.
Yeah, the Canadians. Called 911 on Thursday for no apparent reason other than he was intoxicated, Brandon police told and said in release. The when officers upon
too many Molsons.
Oh, what have we done now? When officers responded
Sorry.
To the I freaking love Canada. They found a man who had an outstanding warrant for his arrest with conditions that he not drink alcohol. The 37-year-old man was arrested for drunk dialing.
Oops.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. I like that story a lot. Mm-hmm. All right. Finally, a story of real insanity here.
Yes.
A woman flew through a tornado in a bathtub and survived.
Wow. Take that, Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Or who else has been in a tornado famously?
Helen Hunt.
Oh, Helen Hunt. The Wizard.
Dorothy.
There you go. That's who I was going to say. What's her name's mom? What's her name? What's her name that was in? Who played Dorothy?
Liza Minnelli. Liza Minnelli is who you're thinking of. It's
who's her mom? Frida Von.
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland. That's it.
Judy Garland. Yeah.
It's nowhere near Frida. Turns out.
Right.
The woman. Oh, sorry. So here's what happened. Violent thunderstorms tore across the South over the weekend. This killed 19 people. It's actually kind of terrible, but an incredible stroke of good fortune. The bathtub probably saved the life of a woman sheltered. From the twister that carved a 13-mile path in East Texas near the border of Louisiana.
Wow.
How new this is. No, it's 24th. It's pretty new. The National Weather Service Forecast Office in Shreveport, Louisiana. I've been to Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a dump.
Kind of, yeah. I've gambled on a riverboat in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Oh, wow. When was that? Yeah. Do you know?
It would have been around 96, okay. 95. Yeah. We went through Lufkin Nacogdoches. We were doing an install at in Tyler, Texas, the Rose capital of the USA.
Yeah.
And we decided to make the drive east out to Shreveport.
I wasn't there very long, but I didn't like it. And maybe that was just the 90s. maybe it's improved by now. I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea now. I think I would have been there right before gambling was there. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Okay. Well, I mean, it wasn't legal. It wasn't legal anywhere but on the river. Like, you have to be on a riverboat.
Oh, okay.
So.
Because when I was there, Mississippi didn't have any casinos yet. There was nothing on the coast.
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of that stuff's changed by now. But so here's the deal. It describes a 800-yard-wide tornado packing winds of 130 miles per hour that tore off the roof of a storage building on Saturday and tossed a party barge, 200 yards into a grove of trees. But here's the unbelievable part. A woman inside took shelter in a bathtub, and the tornado lifted the tub out of the home and deposited it in the woods with the woman still in the tub, and the woman has not been at all injured. Jason Hansford, senior meteorologist who conducted the storm survey, said he spoke to the woman after the incident. She was a little freaked out, but she was fine. So maybe that's what you do, Brian, get in the tub. You know?
I think so. I guess that's it. That's what they tell you, right? Mm-hmm. Get in the bathroom because you've got lots of pipes and stuff like that protecting you. And but the bathtub, geez. I mean, I guess, you know, right?
Why not?
Even if it flips over, you are enclosed in a a nice little porcelain cocoon.
Listen, if Temple of Doom taught me anything, you could get inside of a raft and fall out of a plane and make it. So why not a hot tub?
Right, yes,
tub?
Exactly.
He's
found many ways to survive unsurvivable.
Non-survivable.
Non-survivable.
Is that the word? Unsurvivable.
I would say unsurvivable.
Okay. Unsurvivable.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going with that.
Okay.
That's it for the news. We're going to take a break when we come back. We have major spoilers, some emails, and then some other stuff. So come on back for all of that. Brian's got a little music, though. What do you got for me?
Sure. Well, let's go from East Texas up to North Texas. This is a band called the Motel Pines. They are an alternative indie rock band that came from the longtime friendship of Michael Carrasco and Mark Starling, former members of Saints and Sinners. Michael Carrasco and drummer Mark Starling. They added John Roland and lead guitarist Ben Gaither, who both have backgrounds spanning a wide variety of everything to rock, from rock to bluegrass. And all of those different influences combined to create a sound that is familiar yet fresh and unique. That's what they say. I agree 100%. These guys are kind of on that great line between rock and blues. And I love this. This is from their brand new album, A Sad History. Here are the Motel Pines and Sincerest Apologies.
About having fun. Work, work, work.
Well, par me all over the place.
As Shakespeare said, shit happens. This is the Morning Stream.
Okay, we're back. Oh, that's not it. Sorry, that wasn't supposed to do that at all. Hey, what's up, everybody? What's going on? Hey, we're back. Hey, Brian, what's up? What's up, Brian?
You know, just talking about Nacogdoches and how you pronounce Nacogdoches, but I've been pronouncing Nacogdoches wrong apparently the entire my entire life.
Oh, I'm with you. now I'm confused.
Nacogdoches.
Nacogdoches?
No. It's really pronounced like Natchez or Neck. Well, let me see how.
I used to
Nacogdoche.
Nacogdoche. Really?
Or Nachotes. So Mekio says it's Nachotes. And Sidian says Nacogdoche.
Did you get the nacho doques when you got your new chicken, naked chicken thing?
With the nacho doches deluxe, please.
All right. I don't know if I believe anyone now. I'm sure one of those words is right. Well, all right then. Good to be back, everybody. Hold on to your butts because we've got our good buddy Steven Schleicher heading on into the studio now. And he's going to talk about things because that's what he does. We like him a lot. So why not involve him in this way?
Yeah, right.
So here's his thing. Let's play it right here. Assuming it calls him. Well, it is. Look at this. All right, it is the one, the only, the Steven Schleicher. Steven, hello and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you, man?
Oh, tired.
Yeah?
It's been a long weekend.
Yeah, it's been a really long weekend. I think that's partially why I'm so excited to have you on, because we get to talk about some nerdy shite here.
Yeah, let's talk nerdy stuff.
And that makes me happy. Real quick, though, there was something I was going to say to you that it was directly, what was it? Oh, I saw something I think you'd laugh at.
Okay.
You got your Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
As Aquaman.
Oh, with his two bodyguards.
Yeah, it's him. He's standing there with his two bodyguards. They're tiny little men,
right?
Compared to him, he's this enormous beast of a person, and he's got two bodyguards that he could probably personally pick up with a pinky and throw 50 feet in the air. Like, I don't get it. Wouldn't you want to have the largest men possible guarding you?
I would want the most agile men guarding me.
Oh, hey, that's a good point. Maybe these two are like cats, man. Maybe they just zip around. And
yeah, because if you got to whip out something and start shooting, or you got to start shoving or moving, yeah. I want somebody with like cat-like reflexes, not somebody that has to like, I'm not sure I can reach around here.
Yeah,
lumber over to, yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, well.
But again, Jason Momoa is like 6'4", so that's a pretty tall dude.
Yeah, he's a very tall dude.
Who's protecting who, really, in that scenario?
He's like, yeah. So I'm 6'4", also. He's like me, except... Mm-hmm. He also has muscles. So imagine my height, but not all squishy. And that's what you got there with Jason Momoa. Okay, I got a question about that upcoming thing, and then we'll move on to our actual stories.
All right.
Do you think, what's the likelihood, should we take any bets on whether or not Jason Momoa, either in the Justice League business or his own film, probably his own film, do you think he'll get a hook at the end?
For a hand?
Sure. Yeah, there'll be a loss of hand, and he'll end up he'll be in hook hand man at that point.
I say for sure. I'd say 100% chance.
Okay. What do you say?
I say that's probably more like a 40% chance.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Still pretty high chance, though. 40's not.
I mean, well, if the weatherman tells you there's a 40% chance of rain, don't pack your umbrella.
Oh, is that the general rule? I hadn't thought of that. We had a weatherman the other day say that there was going to be it was going to be clear and sunny, like the morning of the day he said it, and that entire day it snowed and was slushy and awful. So
yeah,
I've given up on the weathermen. They're all full of shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I just think that would be too much for that character in what they're doing now, because current Aquaman has both his hands, and they're not going to go back to something that was 20 years ago.
And neither one of them's a water hand?
Yeah, no.
Like he has his actual real hands?
He's got actual two hands.
When did the water hand come about? What was that about?
90-something.
Okay. What, does he control the water with his hand?
With his mind,
mind, I mean? Okay. Yeah. I thought he could only control the fish and the dolphins and
this
stuff.
This is about the same time that he got that stupid blue costume.
Okay, that's about how long it's been since I've read an Aquaman comic or a story with Aquaman. So that's why... apparently I'm so out of it as far as like, I thought the hook hand was pretty much like a almost permanent thing.
Yeah, I thought it was canon also, and I also thought it was more recent. I didn't know it was that old.
No, it's quite a while ago that they did that. If you want to actually the Geoff Johns Aquaman series, when they relaunched that with this new 52, it's actually pretty good and worth checking out.
Okay. The I have the Geoff Johns complete Flash thing that he did with Howard Porter's art, because Howard sent me a copy of it for when Nick got his surgery. It was very nice of him. That is some of the best comic reading I've ever done. Like, Geoff Johns, that guy's a national treasure. He should just stop producing things and just go back to writing comics all day, right? Isn't that his deal now, though, too? He's doing some more comic writing?
He's got a couple of books that he's going to do this year, at least one. And we know that a big event, a book that's coming up, he said he would be writing. I forget which one. We talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we did. That's true.
I have some mixed feelings. Yes, Geoff Johns can tell some great stories, but he has a real love for Silver Age stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for those people that rather have a different Green Lantern than Hal Jordan, too bad, because Geoff Johns in charge. Yeah. For people who like Wally West more than Barry Allen, too bad, Geoff Johns is in charge. So, I mean, Wally West is back, and people are going to say, yes, but all those characters back, Steven. Yes, but did we really need Hal Jordan to come back from the grave? Did we really need Barry Allen to come back from his ultimate sacrifice? I don't know. He wears his fandom on his sleeve, which is fine. But I think that kind of blinds him in many ways.
Interesting, because otherwise he spins a great yarn. But your point is he gets stuck in these Silver Age ideals and never wants to leave them.
Like immovable, yeah.
That's interesting. All right, well, let's talk about Black Panther. That movie began production. How do we know that? And what's the word on the street?
I think the big thing about this is they have begun production. What a lot of people have been wondering about is what will be the story in this movie, and we found the official synopsis that Disney sent out in their press release. It says basically it's following T'Challa after the events of Captain America: Civil War. He returns to his isolated, technologically advanced African nation of Wakanda to take his place as king. However, an old enemy reappears on the radar, and it will test his mettle as king and Black Panther as he's drawn into conflict that puts the entire fate of Wakanda and the world at risk.
Oh man! Ba-ba-bom. Oh, fake country in trouble.
Yeah.
Now the whole world's in trouble. All right. Well, I'm down. Whatever. Black Panther was real cool in that Avengers movie. That Captain America movie. It's basically an Avengers movie.
And the fact that Civil War movie, Andy Serkis in the credits means we are getting more Claw.
Right. And that's probably who they're talking about when an old villain returns.
What if he just shows up as Smeagol? What if he's Smeagol? Just being Smeagol-y and stuff. Talking about Precious and whatever. That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah.
So the guy who plays Black Panther, what's that
Chadwick
name?
Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman.
That guy is really, really good. But I swear to you, this is not me, white guy dumbness. I swear when I see him, I always think it's that Chitawafor Abathur man. Yeah. What's his name?
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
That guy. I always think it's him. They are very similar to me. And, or not to me, but to get to each other. To me. Anyway, whatever. Black Panther, it's coming. Get excited, everybody. Get your shoes on and let's watch that thing. And that's when? What's the release? Do we know?
Oh, man, I forgot what the release is.
February 16th.
February?
20.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2018, right?
Yeah, we've got a year to go.
Oh, geez. I don't want to wait a year.
We've got Guardians of the Galaxy 2 coming up on May 5th. We got Spider-Man on the July 7th.
Oh, yeah, Logan next month. Or Logan's next month.
We've got Thor coming up in November. Mm-hmm. We got a lot going on just this year alone. Three Marvel movies.
Should I watch the second Thor movie finally then?
Oh, for sure. It's good.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
I still haven't watched it.
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't
have... You got, you got the dark...
You got Loki and Thor teaming up.
Mm-hmm. The Dark Business.
Yeah, and the girl's real cool. I like her.
Yeah.
Dark elves
running around.
Yeah, is Padme in there? She in that one?
Natalie Portman doesn't... I think she's... Oh, she is in a little bit. I don't think she's...
Just not. Briefly.
Mm. Yeah.
If I remember correctly. No, she's not. They say she's out doing some kind of research, if I remember correctly.
That was for the Avengers,
too. Oh, okay.
They said they sent her out.
So wait, she's not...
Barely, it's funny. Maybe I need to watch it again, too, Scott.
Oh.
It's been a while since that movie came out.
Is Rainbow Road guy in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing his business. Sweet. And And do we?
Does say Natalie Portman's in the movie, so there you go.
Is Hannibal in it, or is he not in this one? Does he not?
Hannibal Lecter, Anthony Hopkins is, yes.
He is, okay. All right, I'll watch too. I just need to get around to it. I just never did.
And Rene Russo. Mm-hmm.
It was all about, we'll see it in the theater, and then something came up, and I got busy, and then I just never saw it.
Is that the only Marvel movie you haven't seen?
I think so. I think it's the only
one. You've seen
Ant-Man? Yeah, I loved Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. Let me think. Have I not seen anything else? I think that's it. Cool. The second Thor movie is the only one I haven't seen. How can I live this long without the hunky presence of one of the Hemsworths in my life?
One of the good Hemsworths.
Yeah, not Terrence or whatever his name is that's in the Westworld.
One of the greater Hemsworths.
Yeah, but think I like the connection though. You got the younger. You got what does Jury always call him? I forgot. He has a great name for him. But you got him and Anthony Hopkins in there. It's like Odin, like another connection to the Thor movies.
No kidding.
Yeah, think of that. Anyway, that's all good and well. Let's talk about the D&D Monster Manual.
Oh, man, gamers are going to love this. A lot of people have switched over to Roll20 because that allows you to do online gaming. It removes a lot of the paperwork that you have to have scattered in front of you. Everybody can just open up their laptops and get on board and have their adventures. Well, Roll20 has been working with Wizards of the Coast for the last year to start incorporating a lot of their material into an electronic form so that you have access to it right inside the game. And the newest is coming out this month in February. Is they're putting the Monster Manual in there. So DMs can just go in and say, hey, I would like to add a kobold to my fight. And you can just literally drag and drop it right into your game. And it's got all the stats and everything in there. And for those people that like to skin monsters and make up their own creatures or whatever for their own setting, it's real easy to do that too in Roll20. So that's coming out in February. It does have kind of a high price though. It's $50 to add this electronically into your game, which is what the print manual costs. So there may need to be some reconciliation coming up soon on how much Wizards of the Coast wants to charge for something like this. But for a lot of people who are bringing characters and relying completely on Roll20, this is a nice way to do it because you have access to everything in this new setup
instantly electronically.
Yeah.
And you just get your players to everybody. It's like chipping in for a Domino's pizza, right? Everybody puts in $8 and you get Roll20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is great.
Yeah. I think it is good. And that's the suggestion a lot of people have said is they're like, well, if I'm a DM, maybe I can just have my players kick in $5 or $6 and that will cover the cost of this Monster Manual, and then of course we expect the Player's Guide and everything else to be added in shortly. Mm-hmm. They did add in Storm King's Fury, which is the latest release of their big stories that they have coming out quarterly. That's already in the system as well. Mm-hmm. And if people don't know what I'm talking about, go check out roll20.net for more information.
Yeah, looking at it now, that's pretty awesome. I didn't even know it existed, so shows where my head is. X-Men headed to the small screen. Let me guess. It's going to be none of the characters we know, but all the ones we've never heard of. Like, it's
what they do with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. It'll be like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. except X-Men style or something else. What is it?
Here's the story that changes almost daily. We were told a long time ago that Bryan Singer would never return to the X-Men franchise or that he wanted to take a long break from that. They announced that they're going into a pilot for the X-Men television series. And then the very next day, they're like, well, it looks like maybe Bryan Singer will be attached to this. And originally they said, hey, there won't be any original, you know, the main X-Men won't be in this show. And now they're like, well, maybe there will be. So because it's just going into pilot, I don't think a lot of people know what's going on. But in their announcement, they did say that the pilot will focus on two ordinary parents who discover their children possess mutant powers and they're forced to go on the run from hostile government. The family joins up with underground network of mutants and must fight to survive. So they'll team up. What's that underground group of mutants called? The woman that has the bones grow out of her body, marrow and all that on there.
Yeah, that's not X-Force, right?
It's not X-Force.
No, that's not X-Force.
It's shite. I read somebody a bunch of that. I know what this is. I can't remember the name.
The Morlocks?
That's
no.
it.
No.
It is?
I think that's what it is.
The Morlocks? Yeah.
Oh, not the Murlocs, the Morlocks.
Oh, I was going to say, they said Murlocs. I
think, Callisto and Caliban. That's interesting. I mean, because, you think about if they were going to do Wolverine, it obviously wouldn't be Hugh Jackman.
Right.
If they were going to do any of the characters that they've prominently shown in the movies, it would be different actors, and it would be people who aren't going to make that jump from movies down to a TV show. So kind of going with... lesser known or Marvel characters they haven't shown. I mean, they could do like Sunspot and Longshot and
couldn't they just create stuff from whole cloth? Can't they just say,
oh sure,
we got an X-Man here who's made out of cement? And
yeah, but how fun has that been for Marvel fans watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I mean, all right,
so we get Quake,
yeah,
right, and we get you know, a couple characters who've been in the comics.
I just think you need
tangentially.
I just think you need really good writing, and that will solve it. Like, mm-hmm. if the writing's good and the characters you create are good, then that's no different than making good comics.
Well, I think that's why there's been some little backpedaling about, oh, there won't be any main X-Men people that anyone will know of. Well, maybe you never can say no because, you know.
Maybe Jean Grey is just making all the producers confused. She's like, is what it sounds like.
I am excited for Legion, though. Everything that I see mm-hmm. about Legion really gets me excited to see how they do this. And do we know for sure that they're not doing the true history of Legion, like that he's not the son of Xavier? And
we don't know that yet.
Okay. Yeah. Lauren Heller or yeah, obviously it's still going to be Lauren or whoever.
You know, that McAvoy could show up as a guest star, you know, thing on an X-Men show. He could just mm-hmm. pop in there and go, hey, I'm
Cash
Professor X.
All his split money, man. That's
yeah.
Another weekend where that was like the top movie at the box office.
People are loving that freaking thing.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. And I got a little bit of a spoiler.
I'm going
to
tell you. No, don't say it.
No. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Don't look at the movie on IMDb, because even if you don't go into like the section marked spoilers, you get something that's spoilery about it.
I'm not going near anything with it until I see it. Because I've heard that this is M. Night Shyamalan back in the seat again, man.
Yeah. However, knowing the spoiler, it makes me way more excited for it than I was before.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Is it a horror movie? Am I taking my wife to something she's going to hate? Does anyone know?
It's a thriller. It's like, you know, typical Shyamalan. It's, you know.
Okay.
It's not a slasher movie, but it's going to be, you know, it's a guy with multiple personalities who kidnaps three women. It's it's not going to be a rom-com, Scott.
All right. I'm trying to talk her into it. It's not her thing. She doesn't like this stuff.
Has she liked other Shyamalan movies?
Yeah, she really liked Unbreakable, and she really liked Sixth Sense, and pretty much... Oh, and she likes Signs.
Then I think she'll like this. I think...
All right.
From what I hear, it's a lot in the vein of the ones you mentioned, so...
Okay. I'm in then.
Well, speaking of M. Night at his best, I know we got to get out of here. He has said that he is going to return and do another Unbreakable sequel.
Oh.
So that is, I don't know if that's his very next project that he's going to work on, but he did say that the Unbreakable sequel is on its way.
It's one of my favorite hero movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the most unconventional hero movie of all time, but I love it. So please do M. Night Shyamalan. Hey, how would he bring back Bruce Willis? Is that the plan?
One would imagine.
Yeah. Maybe he could raise up a new generation of man.
Heroes with fantastic abilities far beyond those of modern man.
Yeah. Brian, what are you doing?
Nothing.
He's trying to not shout spoilers.
I'm not saying anything.
Oh. All right. He won't say then. Are you, what, you know a spoiler about something? About that?
No. I don't know anything about the about any sequels or anything. I'm just being comedic about not revealing any spoilers.
Oh, he's hamming for the chat. I got it. All right. I thought you were doing that to me. I'm like, what?
Hamming for everybody.
Right.
Yes,
everyone have a piece of ham. Ham is great. I love ham.
Right.
MAME. Let's talk about MAME stuff.
So what's, Brian, I know that I watched the video that Mark put out, The Wood Whisperer. Everybody should go check it out. It shows the whole build of the cabinet that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, a lot of us don't have access to master craftsmen to cut our wood and everything for us. And many of us may not even have the tools.
Not everybody has a wood whisperer in their back pocket is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you've ever talked about cost or anything, and I don't know if you plan to, but one thing that has come up is if I were to go and buy all my wood and buy the tools that I needed to do this, mm-hmm. it might just be easier for me to go out and buy a kit that has the, you know, everything's pre-cut. All I have to do is assemble.
Mm.
And I've been looking at some prices, and the prices are ranging, depending on the size and the configuration and what type of cabinet you're getting, anywhere from $220 up to, and there's some really big cabinets, for like a 40-inch screen for like $600. Mm. So I don't know, Brian, is that something in the price range of what you spent on your just the wood and the labor for that cabinet, do you think?
Well, because he was doing this and I tried to pay him. So basically the only things I paid for on this thing are all of the innards, all the electronics, all of the buttons, the guts, the vinyl printing for the marquee and stuff like that. He would not let me pay for the wood or any of that stuff because he was basically doing it for a DeWalt promotion. They paid him.
Okay. Really,
technically they paid him to do this. Mm. But and so because of that, he used really, really nice wood. You totally could do the
MDF or something.
Yeah, I would do the pressed wood because number one, arcade machines kind of were always pressed wood. It's going to make it a lot heavier. It's going to make it a little bit more, you know, difficult to move around and stuff, or a little bit heavier to move around. But instead of doing the really nice wood that Mark used, you could always just do the pressed board. And then instead of the really thin pieces of wood that he put all around the outside, you do the plastic T molding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that would save you a bunch of money and a bunch of time. I think, you know, we could have done this with one big sheet of plywood, maybe two big sheets of plywood or sheets of press board. Mm-hmm. And the key is having all those things that you need to cut it down. Having a circular saw is probably the minimum you'd want to have. You'd want to have a circular saw.
Yeah. I think, some of the tools I think for sure you'd need is the, circular saw, probably a jigsaw. If you're doing any curves, you're going to need a router. If you're going to put in that T molding.
Yep.
So those are probably the main things. So, you know, that's maybe $100 or more of stuff. And heck, you could go easily to a pawn shop and probably buy that stuff even cheaper than that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, so the question is, you know, are you planning on doing more projects after you complete your arcade cabinet? Then I'd say, yeah, invest in the tools, learn how to use them, and really make this thing your own. If you are saying, no, really, once the cabinet's done, I want to move on to the next thing, then I would say a kit is not a bad way to go. And I've seen a lot of those kits online, and and some of them, you know, some of them are that that flat pack board, which isn't bad. Again, the contents of your cabinet, the heaviest thing in there is going to be the monitor. Everything else is minuscule.
Yeah.
So,
but it is that so price though. Totally, I mean, this is something that, that listeners need to think about is like, well, if I spend all the tools and the wood and everything, how much is that going to cost versus ease of, I want it now, just have it shipped to my door and spend the weekend gluing some stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Well, nice thing about the one I'm working on is I have Steve, my brother-in-law, who's a freaking genius with this stuff. In fact, we were just talking about it again last night. He is very motivational. Steve is. Mm-hmm. He's like, we got to stop talking about
this. He's a motivational speaker.
He's like, we got to stop talking and just do this thing. And I said, I know. So, you know, that's a nice convenient thing. Brian had Mark. I've got Steve. Mm-hmm. But what I really want to do with this process with Steve is pay very close attention to what he's doing and how he does it and be as much a part of the making of it as I can. So I can actually learn something here. That's my goal. He had heard me on the show say, well, maybe we just focus it on the old vertical games and not worry about the horizontal ones. And he has a genius idea for how to not have that be a problem.
Accommodate both?
Yes.
Nice.
In a way that I'm not even sure how this is going to, oh my gosh, I don't know how he's even going to do it. but I believe in him. He's like Santa Claus. If you believe hard enough, he'll bring you gifts.
You turn the whole thing on its side
and
then you just play the buttons on the side while you're playing your vertical shooter.
Yeah, you just have to, it's kind of a cranking your neck thing, but you'll get used to it.
Because I'm surprised as I'm going through like the arcade games I've got on this thing, I'm surprised how many of them are horizontal because a lot of the classic ones I remember, you know, your Space Invaders and Galaxian and Galaga and stuff like that, Centipede, all vertical. But stuff like Asteroids and Asteroids Deluxe, I forgot how much I love those games until I put them on there.
They're great games.
Rolling Thunder, horizontal.
Yep.
Joust, horizontal.
Oh, did you get Rolling Thunder working then? It works then.
I did, yes. Oh. Yes, the key is Advanced MAME 3.1. That is the jam. I was using what is it? It's Library or Libretto. Libretro, that's what it is. LibRetro 2003 to run a lot of these, and there's some incompatibility. So you want to go with advanced MAME 3.1. It does just about everything.
All right. I knew somebody out there would be doing it right. Well, there's your moment in MAME. I have a little here. Here's our closing theme. There we go. Steven Schleicher, everybody, tell people where they can find anything you want them to find this week.
Majorspoilers.com is the site you want to visit, and you can check me out on Twitter at Majorspoilers.
That's awesome. Steven Schleicher, everybody, take it easy, be well, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
All right. Very good. That leaves us only with one thing left.
Let's do it.
Two emails. Here's one. Oh, wait. Let me fix this. here's one for us to read. This is from Paul Tinney.
Okay.
He says, hey, guys, how come you never talk about Bob's Burgers? You should talk about Bob's Burgers, Paul.
I just did. Thanks, Paul.
Love Bob's Burgers, and it's a great show, and you should watch all of it on Netflix. And there was a glitch on Netflix a couple of weeks ago where it looked like it had been removed, and I panicked because I really do love that show. People should be watching Bob's Burgers. So there, Paul, is that good enough? I don't know what else to say. It's just a great little...
We both love it.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that'll be around for a very long time. It deserves all the praise it gets. I can't believe somebody...
Great acting, great voice acting cast.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe somebody figured out a way to break into primetime animated comedy and bring something new to the table. And they totally did. Mm-hmm. So watch it, love it, live it, be it. Next up, Eric wrote in and says this. Dear Scott and Brian, the Taco Bell I frequent in Sacramento has a weird specify the number of your hot sauce packets policy as well. So John was talking about this from Phoenix. He says, I used to say, give me a bunch of fire sauce, and there would be this massive handful of fire sauce in the bag. Just the way I like it. Every bite needs to be spicy, I say. But then this started happening. And this is the quote. Would you like any hot sauce? Yes, give me a bunch of fire sauce. How much is a bunch? Like a lot. How much is a lot? Let's just say 10. And then, of course, like you guys, they sometimes forget to include any of the hot sauce. And after all of that, I normally go through the drive-thru when these conversations are happening, but last week I went into the same Taco Bell. I realized that this must be some sort of hot sauce rationing policy or whatever when I saw written on a big whiteboard next to the drive-thru window, always ask exactly how many packets of hot sauce they want, all in caps. Seems like many of us, at least two, are dealing with the same weird thing. Cheers, Eric. So maybe it's just down to that. Maybe there's a shortage or they're trying to save money or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's funny. Like, you think that would be somebody that comes down from corporate. Don't let people get away with a bunch or a lot. Get them down to a number.
Yeah, have them tell you how many.
Money.
I think it's weird. They should just have a standard thing. Like, which kind do you want? Well, I want the fire ones. Okay. And then just give me two per taco or something. Two per item. Right, and then that's probably enough. That's better than forgetting to put.
If you're putting more than two packets of hot sauce or any sauce on your Taco Bell food, then I think you don't want Taco Bell. You just want sauce.
You want sauce. Would you like a taco with your sauce? That's what you should be asking.
Right.
Anyway, thank you, Eric, for your email. He is Eric Austin Lee. He is a PhD. And I love that his name, Eric Austin Lee, rhymes with PhD. Mm-hmm. So he can say to people, hi, I'm Eric Austin Lee, PhD. I think that's awesome.
Austin Lee, PhD.
Thanks, Eric. We love hearing from our PhDs, and we love you guys. Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to posit your support on the show, you can at patreon.com/TMS. That's a great place to do it, and we recommend it because it helps us survive, literally. This is streamed every day, or will be, as of tomorrow. On Alpha Geek Radio again, because it'll all be tied back to Twitch. The Twitch stuff, again, comes back online today at 11 a.m. That's Pacific time, 12 p.m. here in the Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. For all the details on how to contact us, find all this stuff, whatever you need, go to frogpants.com/TMS.
Make sure you tune in right away on Twitch as Scott hosts a call-in show where anything goes.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. And I'll have to not do anything about it. So there you go. That's going to do it for this episode of TMS. Thanks all for being here. Brian, let's get out. You got music? What do you got?
I do. I am Sci-Fi in the chat room says, hey there, Brioche and Semolina. Can't get enough of me, can ya? I turned the mighty symmetrical age of 33 on the 28th, and I want to hear They Might Be Giants in your fancy smancy Twitch stream. Well, sorry. Sorry, Ian. This ain't going to happen. Make that happen with their cover of the ever-wonderful one-hit wonder Tub Thumping, and all my wildest dreams will come true. Either the Monday after the big day or any time that week is fine by moi. I get knocked down. I get up again. I continue to ask if it's too early to get a fish sandwich, but I continue to love the show, though.
Oh, does he want me to? I guess he probably does. Hold on.
A fisherman.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Flake.
No. Hold on.
You like...
Hey, too early to get a fish sandwich?
No, that's not even... Oh, is that the one? Yeah, that's it.
The one. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. I love... I think more fun is the miniature clip of something. No. Miniature clip? No. Miniature clip? No.
I got to name these better. I just have a lot of things called fish.
I love fish.
Just lots of fish.
That's my favorite one right there.
Anyway, sorry.
All right, so here is They Might Be Giants from their album called Album Raises New and Troubling Questions, but recorded live in the Onion AV, AV Club Studios, the big round room.
Oh, I love those. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's They Might Be Giants and Tub Thumping.
By the way, one of those is Chris Cornell does a cover of... Oh, it's so good, though.
I know what I mean.
Yeah.
I totally know what you mean. I think we played it on the show, and I can't remember what the song was.
I can't
either.
It's fantastic. So look those guys up. Anyway, here it is. Tub Thumping. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
We'll be singing when we're winning. We'll be singing. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down.
He takes a cider drink,
He
sings the songs that remind him of a good time.
Of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
You can't smoke grass in school.